The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
B-Pod Studios.
Yes! Hello, my broken brigade! 'Tis your great leader, Broken Matt Hardy! And you are currently listening to Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with two wonderful blokes, James Stewart and Mike Riley. Yes, let's get into it and listen to the Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast.
Mike Riley, we have a lot of good stuff this week in the wrestling world to talk about, and I feel good. I'm a little punchy right now, so that'll be good for everybody, hopefully. The WWE Intercontinental Championship situation, the futures of Sting and Rey Mysterio. We have our match of the week. We have the Riley round, which Mike tells me it's good, and the segment should be good because he created it, and he'll tell you he created it, and it's good. Yep. But Mike, I do want to start with All Elite Wrestling, and this Saturday night, AEW will present Double or Nothing. This pay-per-view event was supposed to be live from Las Vegas, but reasons. So it'll be coming from Jacksonville, Florida. And Mike, the most interesting match to me on this show is Cody against Lance Archer for the newly created TNT Championship. Mike Tyson, yes, that Mike Tyson, will be presenting the winner with the championship title. And to me, this is a must-win for Cody. He lost to MJF on the last pay-per-view. He lost to Chris Jericho on the pay-per-view back in Baltimore, which means Cody cannot challenge for the AEW Heavyweight Championship because MJF threw in the towel. And so I think that because Cody can't challenge for the AEW Championship, he needs a championship at this point. And he needs some momentum behind him as far as like being important to the company. And I think him being the TNT championship is, I mean, he is important to the company, but I think having that championship in the same way, I think the Young Bucks should be tag team champions. It's just, it's really important. It's really important right now to put more momentum on him, to put pay-per-view momentum on him. Cody also has the most interesting seeds to his story being planted. Doesn't throw in the towel on Dustin a few weeks ago. Doesn't show his face when his wife Brandy is having a snake put on her and being humped by Jake Roberts, who is the manager of Lance Archer. So this matchup is not only for a championship. There's a personal issue that is involved in it, and maybe the seeds are for a Cody Rhodes villain turn. Maybe they're not. Maybe it's just like, oh, he was in the trainer's room. Who knows? I do know that Lance Archer is a tough, tough man, and Cody is the underdog here. And I think Archer over time is more of a challenger for Moxley than he is for Cody. But the matchup at hand is Cody against Lance Archer, and I want to see Cody win and see what he does with a championship. You know, the Moxley-Archer thing, they had killer matches in New Japan Pro Wrestling. So if you're not familiar with Lance Archer, other than the past 6-8 weeks or so, you can go to New Japan World and kind of look up his resume of matches against Moxley. But I think this is a must win for Cody. I think Cody will win this match. And I think this to me is the match that I'm most looking forward to on AEW's pay-per-view on Saturday night. Mike, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's been a good build-up for both of them, but I'm going to disagree with you. I think Lance Archer is going to win this match. And in fact, I think he needs the match more than Cody Rhodes, because for everything that you just said there with Cody Rhodes being in that position to have a championship, sure, it would make the most sense from a character standpoint, because he kind of is the prominent face of AEW for many people, myself included. But I think, though, what you said of a potential villain turn or something else, you also have to put in the factor there of Arn Anderson too. That may, you could have a turn scenario there with him on Cody, which was teased a couple of months ago. That is a very good possibility. But for what AEW has done with Lance Archer and Jake the Snake Roberts here, has been really good stuff over the last few weeks. And sure, Cody, the name to be the inaugural TNT champion with Mike Tyson presenting that to you, that's great and all, but I think when it's all said and done, when you think about that for years to come, who was the first TNT champion? Yeah, I mean, Cody would be a great name to have right there, but you will always remember who the first one was, and I think it's more important for this stage of his career and or of the AEW, the setting where Lance Archer is right now, for him to be the first ever TNT champion. He's a heel. He's got Jake the Snake Roberts. Mike Tyson ain't exactly the friendliest guy. He's been a badass in the ring, so how appropriate to have him present you a TNT championship too? Lance Archer, give me Archer in this match here. I think it's going to be great. I mean, again, good tournament lead up here, what AEW did over the last 5-6 weeks. Archer with the win over Colt Cabana, and then Dustin Rhodes to make the finals. Cody over Sean Spears and Darby Allin to get here too. But this one, I'm going to go Lance Archer in this one. He needs it, and he will be the first TNT champion in AEW history.
Mike, who is the first AEW women's champion?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Who was it?
It was Riho.
There you go.
Right?
You said that
you always remember the first champion.
Okay. You know what? That's going to get to my point. That's going to get to my point in my second match here, because the women's division in AEW sucks, okay? It's terrible. It's not good. Who remembers that?
I do. I was there. I watched the show.
Yeah, but no one – the women's division sucks in AEW. It's terrible, and it's getting better now. It is getting better.
So do you want to talk about how good Britt Baker is now, or do you want to wait?
Now. Well,
now?
She's
okay,
been,
go.
She's been better. I mean, on the microphone, her little thing she's done with Tony Schiavone, I think it's been fantastic. And the whole, okay, it's very difficult. It's a David versus Goliath with the WWE and the NXT for the women's division. There's no hiding behind that. But what we've seen steps in the right direction here for AEW. So I think this match is huge, and there's no title on the line here for Britt Baker and Chris Statlander. But it really is going to be big for the future of the women's division. It's going to propel it into the right direction there. I know Nyla Rose and Sheeta, that's on the line there with the no DQ match. But this one here for Britt Baker to be the prominent face of the women's division, whoever wins that women's title match will, I think Baker's going to win this match against Statlander. You know, she's going to go right after that there. This is so important for the future of AEW and for what she has done. Again, since this pandemic here, I think this has been one of the best character developments AEW has done. And this is her chance to cash in here for Britt Baker to win. And then eventually she'll have the title around her over the next few months.
So Chris Statlander, fabulous competitor. I've watched her work some chaotic shows locally. The alien thing, I don't get. It's different, so I'll work with it. Britt Baker, I thought, should have been the first AEW women's champion. She was not. And I look back on it and I'm glad she wasn't, because what they did was they built a little bit of like, oh, she should have been, but she wasn't. So then they slow played it a little bit, and then they turned her into what Mick Foley would call the greatest evil dentist in the history of pro wrestling.
Yep.
So the fact that we're finally seeing the Britt Baker character was a pleasant surprise. So maybe when we get to Chicago Labor Day weekend this year, she'll be in a position where she'll win the AEW Women's Championship.
Yep.
As a whole, the women's division is okay, but you have to understand that WWE has most of the good crop.
Right.
And they've had how many years of backstory, and I mean, when they really showcased it, the women's division on their main shows was WrestleMania 32, and the weeks leading into it with Becky and Charlotte beating Nikki Bella to transition from to slow transition from the Divas title to the women's title. So I think in the same way that AEW needs to have a little bit more generational time is the wrong term, but it needs a little bit more time for people to understand because they're still new. And, you know, WWE has now they only have like 2 million viewers per show, but over time they had like 4 or 5 million viewers plus whatever their social medias are and all that stuff. So AEW is still a company that is a young, young company.
Yeah.
So it needs time with the, all that stuff. So I love Britt Baker. Wonderful, wonderful sweetheart person, by the way. But her evil dentist character is good stuff, and it, she'll be on the road to the championship soon. You know, the woman that I always look to is Penelope Ford. She checks all the boxes. She's a wonderful sweetheart of a person too. And she's got the athleticism. She's got the personality. She can play off Kip Sabin, the super bad stuff. You know, that's good stuff. And I think Penelope Ford is going to be the franchise player of AEW's women's division over time. But again, they're slow playing her as well, because I don't think she's got a full-time contract, or if she does, it's more recent. But I know when I talked to her in Chicago. Yeah, I know when I talked to her in Chicago, she wasn't a full-time contracted employee. I probably shouldn't have said that, but whatever.
Well, just to make your point, when you asked me about who was the first women's champion in AEW history, honestly, like for a while when the women's were coming on in AEW, I'd pretty much tune out or change the channel. And I think they've come a long way to now have a little bit more interest and prominence there. That's why I'm very invested. I'm semi-invested as much as I am on the other two matches that I really want to see. But I'm very curious to see how this one will go. I think it's very important for the future of women's in the AEW promotion here. Huge.
Mike, do you remember who her opponent was?
The answer
is easier than you think it is.
Go ahead. Was it Baker?
It's the opponent for Nyla Rose.
Oh, okay.
On this pay-per-view.
There you go.
And here's the reason why I'm asking you this. I was texting with a friend most of the day about like the differences between like WWE and AEW.
Yep.
And one of which is the crowd.
Yep.
So the crowd in Chicago at that show last year, and this is a sidebar, but I think it's a fascinating conversation point. So the crowd in Chicago and most of these AEW crowds will sit through a women's match that they may not be totally up to speed with. And they'll invest in the story of the match. And when it gets to the good points, they'll understand that, okay, we're building the match and we're getting to the climactical point of the match.
Yep.
And then the win, they will appreciate the win during the match and give the proper respect to the talent in the match. When you go to a Raw or a SmackDown show and you get Asuka versus Natty Neidhart, most people get up and they go to the souvenir stand.
That's unfortunately, you're right. Yes.
And we both know how talented Natty Neidhart and Asuka are.
Yep.
But for whatever reason, the Raw and the SmackDown crowd won't give them the time of day. So thus Vince goes to the referee, give them the go home cue.
Yeah. Wrap it. Let's go. Yep.
And so that's kind of
that's a fair point.
And when you said, "Oh, everybody will remember who the first TNT champion is,"
right,
it sparked that aspect of it.
Yeah.
And because I had to think about it for a second, like it was Riho, right? And you know, Brandi Rhodes used to say, "Oh, Riho's the best women's performer in the world who's available." But she didn't connect with most people because they don't necessarily know her background and don't have that emotional investment.
Exactly.
So that's why the slow, like I knew who Britt Baker was when she debuted because she's got the relationship with Adam Cole and Even though she was green as grass back then, now she has the character and they were right in slow playing her Mm-hmm. They give her this evil dentist character, which is a play on what she actually does.
Right.
And they put her out there with Tony Schiavone, who's a grizzled veteran and can play off it.
Yep.
See, that's one of the keys in wrestling, too, is that Gene Okerlund is the greatest stick man in history, right?
Yep.
So he knows where to go with people. Schiavone can do the same thing.
He's giving her softballs.
Jim Ross can do the same thing when prompted. The good announcers, they know where the story is going. They know the bullet points, and they can just link the performer right along and look at where it goes. And now if Britt Baker is somehow associated with Jake Roberts and Lance Archer, and maybe the next program is a Brandi Rhodes program, that only helps everything. Because, by the way, that Britt Baker DDT on Brandi is pretty tight. Yeah. Yep. Pretty good DDT there.
Yep. No, it was good. And again, for what they've done for her on the microphone, the Tony Schiavone stuff, like you just talked about there, the last few weeks was really good stuff and just builds up her character more. And that's why I think there's going to be a lot of interest here going forward for her. And this is going to put it in the right direction for AEW in the women's division. So bring it on.
So a little bit of a sidetrack there. And I know that wasn't your I know that was your second most important match to watch. But with the Britt Baker and the women's stuff, I wanted to let you go with your momentum there.
Gotta ride the hot hand, baby.
Yeah, I mean that's what we try to do.
That's right.
So for me, the second most interesting match is a match that you're gonna touch on in a minute, so I'll go to my third most interesting match on the show. That is the casino ladder match. And the winner of this match is going to get a shot at Moxley or Brody Lee for the AEW championship. And while Moxley and Lee is a match that I'm kind of interested in because I think it's going to be a Pier 6 brawl and it's going to be the John Moxley, Terry Funk, Mick Foley style of match and, throw the rule book out the window. And Moxley's the AEW champion and I'm kind of interested, but I'm kind of, I don't know. I go hot and I like Moxley, the performer, but again, I'm getting sidetracked. Okay. The thing that interests me about this ladder match is it's some sort of combination between an actual ladder match and a Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. It's going to have a gambling chip in place of a briefcase, and it's going to have 9 men involved in it. 2 men will start. Every 90 seconds, another person will enter. Mm-hmm. However, the match can end any time. So in theory, it could end within the first 90 seconds. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't think that it will because you don't want your first experimental match, for lack of a better way of putting it, to just end like that. But it's interesting that they're trying this different concept. And the Casino Battle Royal, it sent out people in groups. This looks like it's going to be every 90 seconds another person will enter, and I wonder if they'll fudge the clock a little bit. But so far as we're recording this, I've seen Scorpio Sky, Darby Allin, Colt Cabana, Ray Phoenix, Orange Cassidy, Luchasaurus, and I know I'm missing people.
Kip Sabian's
in it.
And there's
I think Frankie Kazarian is in it as well.
Yeah.
So I look at that and I don't know who wins this.
Yeah.
And that's why it's kind of interesting because.
Did you say Luchasaurus too? Say Luchasaurus?
I did say Luchasaurus.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Sorry. Okay. Yep.
And so if you're doing John Moxley Giant Killer, which Swagger's a giant, quote unquote, Brody Lee's a pretty good sized man, then Luchasaurus should win.
Yeah.
And that's a TV match, right? That's not a pay per view match.
Of course.
In the same way that I don't necessarily think that Brody Lee versus John Moxley is a pay-per-view main event, but I'm trying to work within their system here. So that's why I find this match so interesting is because I can't call it. Mm-hmm. Like Orange Cassidy isn't ready for that position. No. Ray Phoenix would put on a really great TV match. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's Darby Allin because he's been in that, I call it the British Bulldog position, where he's in the upper, or maybe it's the Jake Roberts position, where he's in the upper part of the card and can main event when need be on TV, but he's not going to be a solidified main eventer long term. So maybe it's Darby Allin, maybe it's Scorpio Sky, because Scorpio Sky gave Chris Jericho his first AEW loss, I believe, in a tag team match,
okay,
and then got a match for the world title.
Yep. Okay.
If I remember that correctly, and if I don't, somebody will correct me.
Sounds right.
But so it's interesting to see who that they are going to put forth in winning this match.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to pick a winner, and it doesn't make any logical sense, but I'm just a fan of Colt Cabana, I'd pick Colt Cabana because I think he's an interesting character. And him and Moxley would be a total pig cluster bleep of a match because Colt is more comedy and Moxley can do comedy.
Mm-hmm.
He's only done one comedy match, and that was in the New Japan tournament over the summer. Mm-hmm. And he actually lost that match. So maybe they could do something and play off of, well, the last time Moxley was in there with a comedy wrestler, he lost in the G1 Climax tournament. So there's a lot of different options for AEW in this match. And this, the concept of the match interests me. And who's going to win interests me because their next pay-per-view after this one is September. It's Labor Day weekend. So there's some time to fill between them, between shows. So it feels like the winner of this match is going to be a TV AEW championship match and not a pay-per-view championship match, which changes the whole dynamic of it.
Yeah.
Mike, what do you think?
Yeah. So if this were on television, or excuse me, if this pay-per-view were in front of a crowd, I would open the show with this match. I think that would be a huge pop. Great way to start. Now, not to say that they're not going to start the pay-per-view with this match, but again, so much interest there with the rules. It's never been done. How this is all coming about with the 90 seconds and everything and the chip right there. The casino chip is a really cool concept. Again, it looks like a crapshoot from what you just described there and looking over the roster of the competition in the match. But I think the safe bet here would be Darby Allin. And the reason I say that is because, you know, as you did mention, Jimmy, he's not at that main event status. He may not be there for the long run. He has had a AEW championship match. He had one against Chris Jericho on Dynamite earlier this year. Of course, ended up losing. And, I think that you have that opportunity here. Even without the crowd, AEW has done a very nice job. But you have him in a main event caliber opportunity to work with Jon Moxley. And to see how that goes for the summer months, build up a little feud and feed off each other. And maybe you have that live crowd in Chicago there too, where obviously Moxley, he can go both ways. He can be the face, he can be the heel, and Darby Allin can be a face and a heel. You have a good couple things to choose from right there. I think he's a safe bet. But again, a lot of talented individuals on that match right there. Colt Cabana has been great. Orange Cassidy is just, he's a funny guy. We know that. Sabian's great. Scorpio Sky, can't beat that. Rey Fénix, again, good core guys. But I think the safe bet, like I said, I'm going to go Darby Allin to win this one because he's been close to the main event status, and this would give him that real opportunity there to especially work with the guy who's been a champion. He will be a champion, I think, after Sunday as well, or Saturday rather, and carry that for a good 7-8 month stretch into September.
Mike, the other match you're looking for is the Stadium Stampede match with the Inner Circle versus the Elite.
Absolutely. And the reason why, Jimmy, I mean, maybe it's just me, the fan that enjoys, you know, some chaos in pro wrestling. I mean, who doesn't? But like, I think of the WrestleMania 13 Chicago street fight match with the Legion of Doom and the Nation of Domination. I mean, it was an absolute mess, but just so many crazy things happen. And looking at the Dynamite show from May 6th, it was just inside the Jacksonville Jaguars Stadium with everyone there, a real tease for the Stadium Stampede match, the ice machine. They're going up on top of the, not the crane, but the high riser there. Kenny Omega doing the backflip off of that. So much talent in this match right here. The Inner Circle and the Elite. I mean, it's loaded with talent and great opportunity for everyone here to really, it just at a time right now where we are in life, not sure of what's going on and everything. This is just good stuff right here to turn off real life and appreciate the talent of this match here. Adam Page, Kenny Omega, Matt Hardy, he'll be part of that too. The Matt and Nick Jackson, of course, they're returning. The Young Bucks, Jericho, Hager, Guevara, Santana, and Ortiz. I mean, look at all those guys right there. Give me chaos. Give me stuff inside the stadium. I love that. And to Tony Khan's credit, you can do whatever you want when you're the owner of an NFL franchise and the owner of a stadium. You are flexing your arm there to say, look what I can do. And you're taking advantage of that to keep the interest level there for the crowd. Stadium Stampede, this one is going to be good. But from what we saw a couple of weeks ago with Jericho's squad, the Inner Circle winning that one, I got to go with the Elite winning this one here, Jimmy. What about you?
So I want to see Chris Jericho pin Kenny Omega because I think that there's an underlying story that can be played, and that is Jericho always beats Kenny Omega in AEW.
Okay.
So that eventually when Kenny Omega does beat Chris Jericho, it means so much more and so much more to the longer play. Like, I still think Kenny Omega is going to be the AEW champion at one point in time.
Yep.
But I always thought that that was going to be against Chris Jericho, not against Jon Moxley.
Yep.
Or, and maybe Jericho gets it back or whatever. But I just think that Jericho beating Omega here is important to long play so that eventually Kenny Omega does beat Chris Jericho and it means so much more. The ECW comparison would be Tommy Dreamer finally getting that win over Raven.
Mm-hmm.
And it took Tommy Dreamer a long time, but just about every match that Raven and Dreamer were in, Raven would win or Tommy wouldn't be able to pin Raven. And that was kind of the continuous story. And so that's like, that's a type of detail that I enjoy seeing and enjoy like feeling and kind of being in on.
See, I think the right call, though, for this one, if you're going to have the Elite and Matt Hardy win, I think it would be Matt Hardy, to pin Chris Jericho.
And that would progress the shorter-term story
right.
of a match that we're probably going to see at the Hardy Compound
yes.
with Matt Hardy against Chris Jericho. That's
yeah.
probably going to happen.
Yep. But again, just so excited for that one. Just turn everything off in life. Give me the Stadium Stampede.
Yeah, so I think this Stadium Stampede match is a compromise from the scheduled Blood and Guts match.
That's right.
That was back in April.
Yep.
So I've enjoyed, like you, I enjoyed the match a few weeks ago with Matt Hardy and Kenny Omega, the brawl mm-hmm. all around the building. They'll use the entire football stadium.
Yep.
If it's done right, it'll be, I don't want to say it'll be a mini movie, but that's probably the goal that they're going to try to achieve, except it'll be live. It won't be pre-produced
yep.
and just fighting around a football stadium, right?
Yep.
Because the Inner Circle, when they closed that show a few weeks ago, it was all of them posing in front of the scoreboard with their name on the scoreboard, which is a great visual.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great visual and
awesome.
It's great unity. And the Inner Circle, you know, everything Jericho touches, I feel like turns to gold. It's
yep.
been really good. They beat up Matt Hardy's Vanguard 1, mm-hmm. which I think was good. And Matt Hardy inconsolable at the loss of his drone, which
yeah. Rest in peace.
Yeah. I appreciated that so much. And, and if you followed the Matt Hardy story, you understand how important Vanguard 1 has been to that story.
Right.
And if you follow some Matt Hardy on social media, like he put up the family photo and
yeah.
his services and all that stuff. And it was really, it's well done because
yeah.
Matt Hardy's all in and invested.
Yep.
I'll be interested to see how the Young Bucks and Hangman Page, mm-hmm. This is their return to TV.
Right.
So to that degree, the Elite, in the same way that Cody needs a win, they could use a win, and they probably will win this match.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense for them to come back. The good guys go over, it makes you feel good, mm-hmm. all that stuff. I want to see Jericho pin Omega again because of just my idea, because I love my ideas, obviously, of,
I mean,
you know, long playing this.
Yep. Yep. No, yeah, it's just, again, the talent in that, it's just going to be, that's awesome. All those guys on there, look at the names again. Just really going to appreciate everything, even if it's a cluster, you know what, enjoy every second of it that you can, because is this going to be pre-produced? I know you're talking about maybe a movie thing. This could be pre-produced very easily. Could be, you know, I mean, the whole show might be pre-produced, but I think it's a good setting here inside an empty stadium. Bring it. Anything is possible. Anything.
Yeah, and it's really a time for wrestling to try some different things.
Yeah.
Open up the creative doors and just take chances. And maybe they don't all work.
Yeah.
But try it. Why not?
And look what AEW has tried. They've put talent in the crowd. They've put talent around a match. You know, in the stadium a couple of weeks ago, right there outside Daly's Place to the stadium, it's working. It's making it such a watchable show right now. That is why you try things and you ride the hot hand. If it works, don't fix it if it ain't broke. Now's the time. So it's working.
So, Mike, you're very pro AEW.
Right now I am. And I'm very anti-NXT right now. Very anti-NXT. Yeah. I think NXT has, it's very strange to watch right now. However, one saving grace for them is going to be the fact that they do have the In Your House in 2 weeks or 3 weeks away on June the 7th. The announcement of that, I think it will pick up again. But for what, I mean, I just look at this past week, it was, it's so difficult for me to watch AEW and then NXT. Very difficult. Right now. So I think if you have to watch one of the two, I know I've said it before, start off with NXT, then go to AEW. But right now, again, very difficult for me to go back to the NXT. I thought the Undisputed Era had a cheap ripoff of the Inner Circle this week with that Zoom call with the Roderick Strong there and Dexter Lumis. I thought that was very a ripoff. And the ships may have sailed too. I think that could have been done when the whole pandemic started here, when Zoom got really hot. So a rip off of that, I think they're getting a little lazy. You also look at the whole thing with Charlotte Flair. I understand that she is the NXT champion, and you know it makes perfect sense why she became the NXT champion. But we see Rhea Ripley in a promo backstage here this past week. And again, it makes me think, like, I hope you didn't kill the character, because going into Rhea Ripley, going to WrestleMania, Rhea Ripley was a legitimate badass. Not that she still is not, but people were scared to go in the ring with her. And sure, Charlotte beats her and changes the whole concept. I just hope that that whole character scheme that was built up so well with Rhea Ripley in NXT is not dead in the water. And that's where I might want to see her get the call to Raw or SmackDown to challenge for one of those titles here on out to continue that momentum she had at WrestleMania on the way in. But right now, NXT is very difficult for me to watch, Jimmy. AEW all the way on Wednesday night, so that is the top choice.
What if the play for Charlotte and Rhea Ripley is Rhea gets the championship back at this In Your House, and they move Charlotte permanently to SmackDown?
I could see that. But why don't you put Charlotte on Raw and have her go for the Raw Women's title?
Because you have Asuka there, but SmackDown needs Charlotte more than any of the other brands.
You could do that. I'm just playing devil's advocate here, that's all. Well, I don't know about that. I think if you put her on SmackDown, sure, but the Asuka factor of her being the champion, I think it's a no-brainer for Charlotte to beat Asuka again, where she beat her at WrestleMania 34 in New Orleans a couple of years ago. Again, another opportunity to get to number 17. She's well on her way there to a title, 17th title. But the SmackDown factor, sure, that would inject a little momentum into that roster, into that show, rather.
Charlotte Three Brands, as I'm calling her now, Charlotte Three Brands is doing wonderful work on NXT.
Yeah.
On Friday night with her in the ring with Bayley and Sasha Banks was fabulous because it works on so many levels. It creates Charlotte versus Bayley, which is going to be next week's Friday Friday show. It continues to plant the seeds of why is Sasha Banks in the background of a Bayley championship run?
Yep.
And
that turn's coming.
That's how you draw money. And yeah. Charlotte doesn't need to be on Raw, even though that's her official brand, because the programs coming up for Asuka are going to be Shayna Baszler.
Yep.
And Nia Jax.
Yep.
I think, even though, you know, I think Dana Brooke is still cleaning up Nia Jax drool from the money in the bank.
Guy. Yeah.
Nice to point out, Stephanie McMahon, that your killer villain woman is just drooling there in the middle. That's cool. But hey, yeah. Cheap laugh, right? Like you didn't want to take money in the bank seriously, even though all of us, you know, were actually invested in a stake, which became a higher stake. Little did we know, but that we can talk about that a little bit more. But as far as NXT, I think NXT is trying to do that. That continuous build for new stuff. Like Gargano and Keith Lee is going to be great.
Yeah.
Charlotte and Rhea Ripley, I assume that's the direction. I don't know that's the direction. I'm just guessing. They're going to have another fabulous match. And then I think that's when, I think that's probably when they either break Charlotte off of NXT or that's because Rhea is going to get her win back. And then maybe they do the third match and then Rhea wins decisively. And then Charlotte goes to SmackDown, which is the most important brand of the company.
Yeah.
Well, because that's the one with the most eyes on it.
Right. And just back to my point of Rhea though, I think that again, that she, I just hope that they didn't derail her, but now is the time to have her mean what she meant going into WrestleMania now, because if not, you're going to be in a lot of trouble with like losing interest in her character. So
she's 23 years old, Mike.
I know, but still, you have to take advantage of it while you can, and maybe just have her go right for Asuka on the Raw side there, or even go for Bayley on the SmackDown side and win one of those titles. Make it happen. She's a badass, and do it.
Nah, you keep Rhea on SmackDown on NXT. Yeah. NXT. You let her regain the NXT championship, and
see, I like
that, because then she can say that at the end of this program, if this progresses how I'm projecting it, and I don't know that it will, then you say Rhea Ripley had 3 wins over Charlotte Flair.
You really want to see
NXT champion, and she can work with everybody, and then when you're ready to, when she's 25, 26 years old, you move her to Raw or SmackDown, and then it's okay. We've got Asuka, we've got Bayley, we've got Banks. Maybe we've got another one, and then you have the rematches with Charlotte Flair, where Charlotte is trying to get her 2-3 wins back from Rhea Ripley. That you've created a rivalry there.
Well, if she's going to be 26, 25 or whatever, we got to make sure she's in this for the long run and not willing to have a kid.
Well, I mean,
I'm just saying they got to think about stuff like that. I mean, that's fine. God love Becky Lynch. But if you're going to look at the whole fact of this here for, you know, down the line in your career, she may not be available to the full-time roster on that basis there. So ride the hot hand. Do it now. Cash in now is what I'm saying. Do it.
So now we have to worry about the women having kids because Becky.
No,
Becky
I'm just. She just gave up the championship. She just had to resign as Raw Women's Champion. I mean, that's fantastic news for her. But I mean, the older women get here, the clock ticks. We know that. You have to still look at the whole factor here that time is of the essence. And if she's going to have that momentum on her side, then give her a Raw or SmackDown Women's Championship. She doesn't have to be in NXT the whole time in 3 years. Come on. Use your head. Put her on Raw or SmackDown now.
Becky's 33.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
She decided to have a kid.
No.
Rhea Ripley's 23.
I don't care about that. Do it now. Get her back in that prominent stage. Make her at the main level where she should be.
Rhea Ripley shouldn't be at the main level right now.
No, well, she just had an unbelievable match against Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania. Yeah.
and Charlotte ate her up. And by the way, Charlotte shouldn't have eaten her up, but that was the plan of the match.
It was a great match, but I think that she can get back to the badass she was by beating a top candidate on Raw or SmackDown, winning one of those titles, and she needs it now.
But Rhea's got presumably a longer career ahead of her.
I know.
So let her slow build it.
You sound like
Vince Russo creating Crash TV all of a sudden.
Well,
let's put the title on Sting in segment one. We'll have Sting lose the title segment four to DDP, and then we'll have Kevin Nash win the title in segment 16 at the end of the night from DDP and Sting.
I don't know what to compare you to, say, if you're comparing me to Vince Russo, but you sound like that you're not going to give someone an opportunity where they were before at their highest point, and you're not letting them get back to that level.
I thought Rhea Ripley should have beat Charlotte at WrestleMania.
I thought that should have happened,
but I knew it wasn't going to happen because Charlotte is Charlotte, and they wanted to put her on NXT. Vince wanted to put her on NXT to help
that. And I'm saying you're going to waste that character. You're going to waste that character if you don't cash in now. It's time.
Cash in now. Who is she going to cash in on?
What did I just say? Put her up at the Raw or SmackDown and make her Raw or SmackDown.
But Mike, what I mean is like Rhea, they shouldn't be dancing around with the rosters as is, but the networks are telling them to, right? So you have this 23-year-old going to be a stud player eventually, and you have to take your time. Like in the same, a year ago, people are like, put Velveteen Dream on the main roster. So much so that Velveteen Dream had tights made that said, Vince, I'm over, or Vince, call me up, or something like that. And he wasn't ready. So what I always say is like, there's a reason why certain people aren't called up or moved around to different rosters.
Well,
is because they're missing some piece, or they're slow playing it even more so that when they do get to a Raw or SmackDown, when there are more eyes on their work, that they are ready to do what they are asked by Vince McMahon.
Well, agree to disagree here, but again, I'll beat a dead horse on this one. I just think that you're going to lose that momentum of the character of her if they don't make her the badass again. And she needs to have that prominent level again because she was 3 years out, whatever. No, now.
So Mike, like Rhea Ripley lost to Charlotte Flair.
Yeah,
so their story is 1-1, right?
And Charlotte wins the Royal Rumble, and Rhea Ripley challenges the winner of the Royal Rumble for her NXT title. She calls Charlotte's ass out. I want to defend my title to you, Charlotte. You won. Give me that against Asuka. Give me that against Bayley. Give me that against someone on one of those two shows right there, right now. Because without the crowd, it's, again, NXT, very difficult to watch right now for me. I think it will pick up over the next couple of weeks with the pay-per-view coming. But I want to see her back at that badass level. And I don't see that right now.
But she lost one match to Charlotte, right? So they're 1-1 because Rhea Ripley pinned Charlotte the Friday night before SmackDown. So their match series is 1-1. Rhea Ripley hadn't been seen until she ran interference to save Charlotte's opponent last week on NXT. Hmm. The character hasn't changed. She was just away from the NXT product after her loss for whatever reason, whether she had she couldn't get back into the country, she had to quarantine,
yep,
whatever the reasons were, they kept her, or she kept herself, off of TV. So now when she has this number one contenders match this week on NXT, we'll see if she is still what she left as,
mm-hmm,
which is this badass character that over a period of time went head to head with Becky Lynch, pins Charlotte Flair, wins the War Games match Survivor Series weekend, is the sole survivor, or survived with somebody else in the Survivor Series women's match.
Yep.
And then beats Shayna Baszler the week before Christmas. one loss does not define a character in the same way that people were so upset that Bray Wyatt lost the Universal title to Bill Goldberg, which I think was the wrong move. But Bill Goldberg is the mainstream draw that Vince sees, and that's why Vince goes to it.
Well, and he got paid off by the Saudis.
Does Bray Wyatt transitioning from Bill Goldberg to John Cena, is that a step back? But on that Thursday, everybody was so upset. Oh, how could you take the title off of Bray Wyatt? But he got put into a program with John Cena, a program in which he won, and now Bray Wyatt is back in the Universal Championship picture. So what I'm saying with Rhea Ripley is it's one loss.
Oh, yeah.
And if the scoreboard shows that Rhea Ripley beat Charlotte Flair the next two, are you going to come back and say, well, they misbooked her?
No, I think if Rhea Ripley comes back and wins the next two, is that what you're saying? Is that what you asked me?
Yes, and that's just my theory.
Yeah, I just think that you don't have to have Charlotte again. She doesn't have to go after Charlotte. I think she can go and challenge whoever the hell she wants to challenge, even if she is to lose this upcoming contender match there. Just show how good that character is and what they had. I'm not saying they destroyed it, but I think now is the time to remember who Rhea Ripley is and what how good she is before WrestleMania with the whole build up there to her and being that prominent of a character. Now's the time to keep that momentum going, bring it back to life.
But if Rhea Ripley leaves NXT and doesn't regain her championship or at least attempt to regain her championship, then I could make the case that, well, her character is a coward because it went to a different brand because it couldn't overcome the obstacle in its path. And that's how you make great good guys. That's how you make great baby faces, is they see an obstacle and then they eventually overcome it. And this is a failing of WWE over the years, is that they make their baby faces look like ass clowns.
Well, you could make that case, but you could also make the case that she is a heel and she can do whatever the hell she wants to do. She can say, I'm going to challenge you this week. I'm going to go challenge someone on SmackDown or Raw this week, whatever. There's no rules anymore in wrestling. We know that. They can do whatever the hell they want to do. And if she's going to have that, then do it. But as far as Charlotte and Rhea, though, I'd love to see another match down the line. I think that'd be great.
I think you'll see it in your house. I don't know that, but I think so.
I'm all in on that.
Nice diversion there.
You like that?
Yeah, except you're wrong. AEW turned a small profit. It's worth mentioning that AEW turned a small profit in April, which is kind of surprising because they lost a bunch of big live gates. But two quick things, and then we'll get to match of the week. We'll get to Riley round. We'll get to the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah.
Sting might be going to AEW. His Legends deal with WWE might be up. We're not sure. Long story short is he's been tweeting pro All Elite Wrestling. His WWE Legends action figure was created and it was pulled from distribution. So red flag there. I think Sting for a one-off in AEW is fine. If you want to do Sting versus Jericho, that's fine. I don't think Sting could handle Jon Moxley. I'm sure Cody would just want to pin Sting in the middle of the ring. Sting versus MJF is interesting to me. But again, Sting in AEW, if it's a one-off situation, that's it. Mike, what do you think about Sting potentially in AEW?
Similar to what you said, whoever he goes in the ring with, they're going to have to do the work for him. No hiding behind that. And hopefully he doesn't get the squash like he had at WrestleMania 31. But I hope that, I like Sting. Doesn't really do much for me. I think it would be a better opportunity for him, like kind of how Bret Hart presented the first ever AEW championship, or, you know, an appearance here or there sporadically like DDP has had. And now Jake the Snake Roberts, you could bring him in as a promo guy, or even Mike Tyson, like he's doing that. I think it would make more sense like that to show the importance of Sting as a guy in a career and how important he has been to pro wrestling over time, instead of him having that match and probably not having the best match. So I think more of a figure and maybe a microphone thing instead of in-ring would be best for Sting.
Dave Meltzer had a note on Rey Mysterio and his future. They shot an angle on Raw this week where Rollins took out Rey Mysterio's eye. Rey Mysterio's contract is coming due. And as of a week ago, according to Meltzer, he has not signed a new contract. Do you think Rey Mysterio would be a good fit in AEW, Mike Riley?
Without question. I think he'd be perfect there. You could slide him anywhere. He works well with anybody. Still has it at this age. No issue there. And plus, it's a name, Rey Mysterio, AEW. Of course they can use a guy like that. More energy, more guys on the bench there on the roster. That's great. So give me Rey Mysterio and AEW if that's the case. What do you say?
So I can see Rey Mysterio going to AEW for a shorter term deal.
Yeah.
Work with the Young Bucks who want to work with him. He was, of course, part of that first all-in pay-per-view, which was under the Ring of Honor National Wrestling Alliance banner. That was essentially they used Ring of Honor and their production crew to show Tony Khan that they could put on a show.
Yep.
And I think the Bucks want to work with him. I think Hangman Page versus Rey would be good. Kenny Omega versus Rey Mysterio, and maybe one more program with Chris Jericho, because Chris Jericho and Rey Mysterio have always had a good series of matches, and maybe that brings back a few people who are like, oh, I remember this feud. This was pretty good.
Yeah.
So Rey on a short-term deal to AEW, I would be for. I would be pro. But I don't know. I feel like Rey will just take the money and do whatever.
Yeah.
But who knows? Who knows at this point in time?
Yep.
You know, and interesting to just kind of throw in there, Drew Gulak's last match as of right now was Friday night on SmackDown, losing to Daniel Bryan in the Intercontinental Championship tournament.
Yeah.
Drew, apparently, the reporting is he was looking for a raise, and WWE did not want to give him one, so they let his contract expire. So I wonder if the money has kind of dried up in WWE for people that Vince McMahon don't see as main event guys.
Tough time to ask for a raise too.
I admire it, but
yeah. But is he in that position to ask for a raise? I mean, with all the respect to him, and I know this is where you're going to say, but you don't respect him.
And a lot of people apparently don't, if you're just going to let him walk.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Now, if you're AJ Styles, if you're, you know, Charlotte Flair asking for a raise, I have no issue with that. But this guy right here, no. Wrong time, pal. Just because you had a good match with Daniel Bryan back in March or February, whenever the hell that pay-per-view was, that's great. And he's done a fairly good job since that time there. Bryan put him over, helped propel him. But now is not the time to ask for a raise. Wait until we're in the clear on the pandemic.
So the Intercontinental Championship is vacant. WWE started a tournament on SmackDown to crown a new champion. Sami Zayn is at home. He's not working because of the situation with the world right now. So WWE took the championship away from him. AJ Styles should win this tournament. He should be on SmackDown until further notice. If not AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan and doing the Intercontinental Championship Invitational, much like John Cena did the U.S. Open Challenge. So I'd be into those two. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, 100% AJ Styles would be perfect there. You know, this title, the new design and everything, put more prominence back into it. He's been a heavyweight champion before, although Shinsuke Nakamura was a champion earlier this year. We know that, or whatever the heck it was earlier this year in the fall. Daniel Bryan, I think, would make a lot of sense, too. Again, former world champion and Intercontinental champion, but a guy like an Elias, he really could use it, build him up even more. I mean, he just, he's known for the guitar and everything, but he's a guy that could really use it. But I think AJ Styles, the heavy favorite here, and it would make the most sense for WWE to put it around his waist because he'll be around for at least the next few years and at least to add that prominence here to the title where it once was.
Don't be shocked if it's Jeff Hardy, because Jeff's contract is coming due soon, and that is a classic Vince McMahon play.
Yep.
So let's get to our match. Oh, you had a thought on SummerSlam and being in Boston, not being in Boston. So go.
10 seconds. Well, about 30 seconds. I just think that Mayor Marty Walsh, Boston, if you don't know who he is, there you go. I think he is ready to declare war silently on Vince McMahon. And the reason I say that is because he pretty much shut down everything for the summer. Vince McMahon did say that he is determined to have SummerSlam in front of a live crowd. And just the fact that he did say that, even if he has to wait till September and so forth, it's going to be interesting with all these regulations, how many people would be allowed into an arena or whatnot. But I think this is where Mayor Walsh is going to use the political flex the arm there. We know Vince is boys with President Trump. Mayor Walsh obviously is opposite views of that there. No doubt in my mind, he will lash out at Vince McMahon over the next 10 days and say, how can a guy like this want to have a live crowd, especially in my city? And he's just looking to pick a fight with a billionaire to elevate his political career. What say you, Jimmy?
So if Vince McMahon donates $20 million to the Marty Walsh reelection campaign, then I think he gets SummerSlam in Boston with fans.
I'd be fine for that.
I think that WWE is going to find another location for SummerSlam.
Well, Florida is a hotbed.
I don't necessarily know that SummerSlam is going to have fans, even if it's in another location.
Yeah.
And I say this because I don't remember if I mentioned this last week or not, but I talked to Kerry Silken, who used to be the owner of Ring of Honor.
You did say this 2 weeks ago.
Okay, I did say this.
Yeah.
And he doesn't think, and he had to close down his variation of Ace Ticket. And he doesn't think that there are going to be fans in stadiums until at least 2021.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then that's what it is. But
I just think it's a political fight ready to happen. So don't be surprised if you see Mayor Walsh go after Vince McMahon. Just a forewarning.
Yeah. The unfortunate thing is that this people's health and economic stability is all political, and I hate it.
Sucks.
And I've said this to enough people, tell me where the show is and I will put on a hazmat suit so I can go see live wrestling. That's how I feel.
I'm with you, Jimmy.
So for example, like, Northeast Wrestling is advertising a return to Bethany Town Hall, Bethany, Connecticut Town Hall, 6/20 on their Facebook page. I don't know if that's going to be in front of people or if that's, they're just going to do shows. I know Chaotic Wrestling, is going to do their Cold Fury, which is their big event. And they're either going to do it in June or July, and it's either going to be with fans if the state allows it, or without fans if the state doesn't allow it. But these wrestling companies, they're going to start doing shows, and whether it's going to have fans or not, or it's going to be empty arenas, like that's what it is now.
Yeah, I mean, in WWE and AEW, they've been the pioneers for that there, for everyone else to follow that lead. And if that's the case to make it better for the fans, then bring it on. Go ahead. Do it. Life goes on, right, Jimmy?
Obla di, obla da, life goes on.
That's right, buddy.
That's a Wonder Years reference, if you're old enough to remember that.
It's also a song by the Beatles, too.
Yeah, I know, but I caught it from the Wonder Years.
Oh, okay, yeah. Fred Savage.
Fred Savage, yep.
Yeah.
And, yep. Match to watch this week. Mine comes from WCW Slamboree 1998.
Mm.
Mike Riley, this was a show I was at. It was in Worcester, Massachusetts. Pretty good show overall. Probably most notable is Eric Bischoff going to the middle of the ring and challenging Vince McMahon to a real fight, which we knew wasn't going to happen, but whatever. Mm-hmm. My match to watch is the Cruiserweight Battle Royal. It's 14 men. The winner gets to fight Chris Jericho for the WCW Cruiserweight Championship. And Chris Jericho does the introductions of all the Cruiserweights who are entering the Battle Royal, and that is tremendous entertainment.
Yep.
That match and might have had the second loudest pop I've ever heard in that building. Of course, the first loudest was Mick winning the championship.
Yep.
In that building, in the DC, the now DCU Center.
Later that year.
I will not ruin the match for you, but I would say go back, WCW Slamboree 1998. The live crowd went nuts for the finish of both the Battle Royal and the match with Chris Jericho. It is very good. It is very simple pro wrestling. So Slamboree 98, Cruiserweight Battle Royal. Skim the whole card. Why not?
Yeah.
But the Cruiserweight Battle Royal is what I would focus on for that night. Mike, what's your match?
WCW Cruiserweights. That was such a great division when you look back on it. They were so good.
And it was all ECW ripoffs.
It was, but it was just great, though. They capitalized so well. So this is like Chris Jericho week here, apparently, but I chose this one because of the upcoming Stampede, the Stadium Stampede match, and it's a unsanctioned match. Chris Jericho versus Shawn Michaels at Unforgiven 2008. This was in September of 2008, just a few weeks after SummerSlam, where Shawn Michaels was ready to announce his retirement, going with the doctor's advice, and Chris Jericho at SummerSlam came out, and the two had a verbal altercation where then it led to a fist, and Shawn Michaels' wife was also in the ring. Shawn ducks, and Shawn's wife gets knocked by the punch, of course, leading to this buildup here. Quick, easy storytelling, very good stuff. I mean, Jericho, anytime you put him in the ring with anybody, it's you're in good hands here. A good unsanctioned match. They had a interference with Lance Caden, even though that was allowed there. But Jericho and Michaels go back and forth, and they're both on top. Jericho and Cade, I should say, they're on top of the announce table at one point. Outside, Michaels placed him there, and he did a flying elbow from the top right to the outside. That pretty much put the nail in the coffin. But back and forth, some chaos there with the tables, a fire extinguisher. I won't spoil the whole thing for you, but just get ready for the stadium stampede. I had to pick one with Jericho, even though he didn't win this match against HBK. It has the same feel for chaos for me, for what I could pick in Jericho as we get ready for AEW Double or Nothing next week. An Unforgiven 2008 Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho match to watch this week. There you go.
So a few things. Jericho loses this match and then goes on later in the night to win the world title.
Later in the night. But this was
later
like
in the night.
This was like match three or four of the night, I believe.
Yep. Yeah. Jericho, they eliminated CM Punk from the match, who was the world champion at the time. Mm-hmm. Jericho inserts himself into the match, wins the world title, mm-hmm. which leads to a match that I actually liked better than this one, which was the No Mercy ladder match.
Okay.
For the world title. I like that match a little bit better than this one, but you know, it's what it is. I feel like Chris Jericho and Shawn Michaels never had a bad match.
They work so well.
WrestleMania 19.
Yep.
The show you mentioned, No Mercy. I think there was one at Judgment Day at some point that was also a good one.
Yep.
So the Jericho Michaels thing, it worked on so many levels.
And it all started in Boston at the Royal Rumble 2003.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, there you go. So
that it did. The one that Brock Lesnar won.
That's right. Yep.
Yep.
So are you ready?
Do you have a Riley round for us?
Let's go. Let's go. So this week, I know for social media, a lot of things popping up. They put an image up or something. You know, first thing that comes to your mind when you see this, James, you know what I'm talking about? First thing that comes to your mind when you see this?
The hacker?
The hacker? What?
You said social media, and I went, "Oh, the hacker, hacker."
Cute, touche.
Which is Ali?
Exactly. The blue lights, but I think though,
boring.
You know, yeah, it doesn't do much for me. But if I say this, if you think of it or see this, I want you to tell me first thing that comes to your mind when I say this. Okay, you ready?
Yep, ready.
First thing that comes to your mind when I say WWE. Go.
Vince McMahon.
Yeah, me too. All right. How about NXT?
First thing that comes to my mind is Kevin Owens.
Okay, I would say Triple H. All right. AEW.
Chris Jericho.
All right. Cody Rhodes. All right. Monday Night Raw.
Paul Heyman.
So for me, the Manhattan Center, the original site of Monday Night Raw, you know? So, okay, Paul Heyman for you. How about SmackDown?
Brother Bruce.
Okay, so I go with The Rock.
So the problem is that like I'm thinking creative. Rock is the right answer. And probably for Monday Night Raw, Steve Austin should be the right answer. I will allow for John Cena as the right answer.
Cena's perfect too. I mean, it's anyone's opinion, so there's no right or wrong answer. Two more. The infamous over my shoulder there, the WWE Winged Eagle Championship. When you see that, what do you think of first? Who do you think of?
Hulk Hogan beating Randy Savage at WrestleMania 5.
See,
or Randy Savage winning the tournament for the title.
Okay.
I also think of DiBiase buying the championship from Andre on Friday night's main event.
Okay, so yeah, Hogan is right up there. I'd also say Bret Hart. I always remember him at that Winged Eagle Championship. And Shawn Michaels had a good run with it too, no hiding behind
and
that.
The Austin era has begun because he won that particular championship belt in Boston at WrestleMania 14 when you were there, and then they transitioned to what is known as the Blue Big Eagle Belt.
Right, and that was the last time we saw the Winged Eagle for on the line, I should say. And last one, since it is up for grabs right now in the tournament, how about the Intercontinental Championship? First thing comes to mind when I say that.
So I unfortunately think of the Honky Tonk Man because he's the longest reigning Intercontinental. Yeah, I know.
Oh,
it's
Jimmy,
terrible. I know. But that's because I've been conditioned that the Honky Tonk Man is the greatest Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion of all time.
Okay.
So that's the first one. As far as probably the greatest Intercontinental, the actual greatest.
If you want that, sure. But yeah. Right.
I think of Chris Jericho. I think of Bret Hart. I think of Kurt Hennig. I think of Randy Savage.
Yeah.
Those are the names that I link to that. And I also think of like how important the Intercontinental Championship was to The Rock and
right.
going to that next level. His program with Ken Shamrock was fabulous.
Awesome. It was great. Yeah. Yeah. So when I hear Intercontinental Championship, first thing that comes to my mind is Savage Steamboat WrestleMania 3. For the Intercontinental title. Steamboat wins. But I think the greatest Intercontinental champion of all time, I'm going to go Bret Hart. I just think early 90s, it was just so prominent in that time there. Perfect was a great one, too. Savage, a great Intercontinental champion. The Honky Tonk Man, I don't know. I got some bitter personal things with him. That's why I'm not
a fan. Yeah, because he's a jerk.
He is I'm not going to use bad language during the podcast. So there you go. First thing comes to mind. Yes. Yeah. And you've bleeped it out. So there you go. First thing comes to mind. What do you think of that? You like that? What do you think? Not bad.
It was a little quick. I was hoping for more depth, but we'll go with it.
That's
your Riley round?
That's it, baby. Unless you have one for me, then I'm all done.
So actually, let me ask you this because, your belt collection is in the background of our video chat.
Yep.
What's your favorite championship custom?
The one that I own, all the ones.
No,
I own
just in general. Like, so WWE has released all of these new custom championships.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a Brahma Bull one.
I saw it.
Of course, the Smoking Skull one.
Yeah.
What's your favorite championship belt?
I actually like the John Cena one, the spinner, and it has. Okay, yeah. So you have that, but his custom one there, of course, has the orange and it has a little of the camo on the back. I think that's a really cool design. The Hogan one is a little too red and yellow. I mean, I know that's his colors and all that. The Bret Hart one is pretty cool too, but I like that Cena one. It's very creative, very John Cena-like with the colors that he represents, and it has the WWE in there. I know The Rock's got the Brahma Bull. We never saw that. The Undertaker's has his little symbol. We never saw that. I want one that we have seen on TV with a little bit of the character in there, and I think that's perfect for John Cena right there. That's my favorite one. How about you?
So mine is the ECW Taz belt.
Oh, nice.
And not necessarily the FTW one, although I do like that one, but it for the longest time was the only replica championship that I owned. And the ECW Taz belt is not available. Mm-hmm. It's the one that they sell on shop, but the difference is the one I have says Taz on the side of it.
Yep.
And the one that they're selling does not have Taz in it.
Okay. Got it. Okay. Well, this one is actually my favorite right there. The Undisputed next to the Winged Eagle in the U.S. title. That's my favorite of all time, actually, too. So
so I want to wrap up the podcast. Congratulations to Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins on their announcement. Devon Dudley said that Asuka's reaction was authentic, that she didn't know. Which I thought the whole segment was really great.
Yeah.
With Asuka being handed the title, which Money in the Bank was now for the women's championship, and being handed the title, the over the top reaction, and then Becky saying, "I'm going to be a mother." And the look on Asuka's face looked really authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's awesome news. So they really did well. It was a really good feel-good moment for them, and good for Becky. We've both met Becky.
She's
we
awesome.
Both think the world of her, so we're happy that she's had this success, and now she gets to have a family.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really cool thing.
Pretty awesome. And, best of luck to her and, becoming a mom here over the next few months and everything, and as she progresses on the road to pregnancy and It's a beautiful thing, giving life, that's for sure. Jimmy, you're a dad. You know all about that. And I think it's awesome all around there. They can actually bring that into real life here on the storyline. She had to surrender the title because of that. So good for her. Happy for Becky and Seth.
And, last thing before we wrap up is go out and support your local businesses if you can. Kowloon's opening up again this week for takeout. They might be doing a drive-in movie theater thing, which is cool. Top Shelf Cookies, which I've mentioned, Phil Castanet, Sports World, Pro Wrestling Tees, your local ale house, your local bagel shop, things like that. Your local trivia DJ, doing conference calls.
Yep. I'm so glad you said that, Jimmy. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead. Keep going. I'm sorry. I'll finish after.
No, I was going to tag you with the, your local trivia guy.
Thank you.
Or music. I don't know. Can you do Zoom calls of wedding announcements?
We could if if the price is right.
Price is right is what you're going to say.
No, but I'm so glad you said that again with the local business, because a lot of people were tweeting at me this week and commenting that it was nice to put them over last week on the show. So it's nice to do that. Couple around here. I know you know this neighborhood pretty well where I'm at. Dungarron's Irish Pub, Echo Bridge Pizza, Chef Mike's in Needham, my personal favorite place to go. Kowloon, of course. Help them out. Hook them up. These guys are local businesses right here, and the people that we got to support. Top Shelf Cookies, the best. I mean, I'm not a big sugar guy anymore, but that is some good stuff there. They do great work. So help out your local business as much as you can.
Yeah. So those are your local businesses. Mike, you're available for – what are you available for now? Put yourself over here.
I thank you, Jimmy. I've been booked like all week with corporate and private events for trivia or music bingo available. You can email me sargesports@gmail.com, sargesports@gmail.com on that. Happy to get your mind off life, what's going on here. It's great for a friend night out, a game night, whatever. Jimmy, we'll even do one for your family if you want to. We'll talk about it after.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. To quote the great manager and WWE Hall of Famer, Mr. Fuji, best rib. No rib.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information. Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.